one, good to see y'all here. And it just really means a lot that y'all chose to come worship at Main Street this morning, and just really appreciate having y'all and seeing all your faces. It's an encouragement to all of us. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. Father, we just come before you and just thank you for this new day. This morning, we thank you that your mercy is new, and we just ask that you would have mercy on us, that you would forgive our sins, Lord, forgive the sins of our nation, and just find our worship acceptable to you. Lord, let us be pleasing in your eyes as we draw near, seeking to better understand who you are. Just open the scriptures to us. Just look down and be pleased, and just pray for each and every one who's here this morning, that you would just touch them and encourage them through your scriptures. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so we are going to be studying this morning in Luke chapter 10, and we find ourselves in verse 21. And this verse is one that I have really come to love over the years. And so I plan to spend a decent amount of time here in just verse 21. So let me read that for us again. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And while this is a very small verse, just a few amount of words, within it we find so very much rich teaching. And in many ways, this defines what Christianity is about, what this Christianity, what it is and what it's not at the same time. And I want us to just try and unpack this this morning. And first things first, just speaking of just the master plan of God, thinking about that some people are going to reject God and then some people are going to accept Him, I thought of the verse in Psalm 118. Let's look at this beginning in verse 22. It says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And I really like that last line. I think that's incredible. It is marvelous in our eyes. And I can see here the prophet, the author here who wrote Psalms, much like Jesus, kind of rejoicing at the master plan of God, at the wisdom of God that... that those, for instance, who are rich, those who claim to be able to see, those who boast in their own strength, right, that they are the ones that have rejected the plan of God, whereas it is those who are needy, those who are childlike, those who are poor, that are going to be far more likely to accept God and to accept His message. And this is truly, it is marvelous that God has orchestrated and He has made the world in such a way that this is the reality. This takes place. And in many ways, it speaks to this divine reversal that we find. We read earlier this year some of the words of Mary in Luke chapter 1. And I want to read this along with what we're studying this morning. This portion of Scripture is known as Mary's Song. We find it in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those who are humble, of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his offspring." And kind of the question, just in reflecting on some of these things that we've just read, you know, what if God was not like what we just read? What if He was like us, and He only chose those who were rich, only chose those who looked good, who were strong, who were wise in their own understanding? What kind of world would that be, right? What kind of God would that be? But I am so very thankful that God, He is not like us, but He is a God that has chosen those who are childlike, and He delights to reveal knowledge to them. Any thoughts about that? Does that spark any ideas, any thoughts, comments, questions? Alrighty, we're still waking up. It's early this morning. I completely understand. So just to kind of to restate what we've talked about, God, in His supreme wisdom, He has revealed Himself in such a way as to be plainly understood by the simple-minded and those who are childlike, while at the same time making it difficult for those who are prideful in their own understanding and learning to find God. All right, and that is, it is marvelous. It is incredible. And I think of Proverbs. Jeff, did you have a comment, or are you scratching? Okay, I'm keeping an eye on everybody. If it looks like you're raising your hand, I'm going to try and call on you. All right, so I thought of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, and I think that this ties in a lot with what we're talking about. So let's look at this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." So as we're thinking about our text this morning, as Jesus has said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. We can take this and we can kind of place this on top of Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, And we can see that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Those who are wise, right, what are they trusting in? Yeah. They're trusting in their own understanding. They're trusting in their self. But it's someone who is needy, right? Is a little child who is going to trust in the Lord. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. Right? That's the great sin of mankind. Those who become prideful in their own understanding. We think many times we can figure things out, right? We can solve those problems and find our own way. And that surely is our downfall. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Not just some, but all your ways. And He will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And isn't it true that, like we read in Proverbs 14:12, that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death? And I think that this is right characteristic of those who are, prideful in their own understanding, that they think that they know the way. They sure think that they've got it all figured out, but they are deceived in their arrogance and in their pride. They become blind while claiming to be able to see. All the while, they are blind because they have rejected God. And I want us just to think about this morning, I think one of the best examples given in Scripture to describe what we're like in relation to God is when God refers to His people as being sheep. And let's think of this example. So sheep, they are inherently stupid, right? And I think that should be, it's designed to be humbling if we understand that the Bible often refers to the people of God as sheep, if they are such stupid and slow creatures. It should bring us some humility. And let's just imagine for a little bit, you've got a herd of sheep, and a couple of the smarter ones decide that they're no longer going to listen to the shepherd, right? They're no longer going to trust in Him to find pasture, to have protection and safety, and no longer going to trust in Him to lead them to water. And they decide to go off on their own way because of the pride of their own understanding. What do y'all think's going to happen to these sheep? Okay, one thing, they're probably going to get lost. Probably going to get eaten by a wolf. Anything else? Stray and lose their knowledge. That's pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jeff, what did you have? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So yeah, Jeff here is making a distinction between those who are trusting in a carnal understanding, just kind of a natural understanding, versus a spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's a big difference. Anybody else who's... Yes, sir?
I don't know if this guy's in with that, but just walk straight off.
Hey, that is really good, Jay. I can imagine these sheep, they're just thinking they're all that, trusting in their own wisdom. They just walk straight off a cliff, right? So they could get eaten by wolves, bears, whatever predators, you know, around. They're probably going to fall into prey. But then, yeah, just walk straight off a cliff. And how about this one? No one said this one yet. Starve. Right? Because they're going to probably not find the pasture. They're probably going to, you know, find some other place. Did anyone else have anything? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a very good comment. Well, let me just rephrase it here. What if these sheep, they try some special techniques? What if they say, we're going to name it and claim it? We're just going to dream big, and we're going to imagine that pasture, that safety, and that water. Do you think that's going to change anything for them? Probably not going to help at all. So anyway, I just find that is just a wonderful example, really, that helps us to put ourselves in our place, to understand our dependence, and really just shows how foolish it is for mankind to think that we can find salvation ourselves, that we can find true spiritual food, that we can find true safety, that we can find that narrow path in our own understanding, right? We're surely worse off than sheep in a spiritual realm, as Jeff is saying, right? So we have to, as Proverbs says, first of all, like our text is saying, we have to be childlike. But then we have to be, like Proverbs, we have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. He is the shepherd, right? The overseer of our souls. And lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight our paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So, therefore, right, we must be childlike. Let us, back in Luke, chapter 18, verse 16 through 17, let's look at what Jesus says about childlikeness in children. He says, starting in verse 16 of chapter 18, "But Jesus called them to Him, saying, 'Let the children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.'" And right, we see here again that Jesus is looking for us to receive the kingdom of God, to respond to God in an appropriate way, to understand our place, to understand that we're like sheep, we're dependent, we're like little children, and we should have that response of simply trusting Him, leaning not on our own understanding, but trusting our Father, trusting our Shepherd. And I think also, to go along with this, 1 Corinthians really helps us to understand our place. 1 Corinthians verse 26 through 31. Let's listen to this as I read this for us. It says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." And I think that's a beautiful summary there, and it gives us the reason for why God has chosen the weak things of the world. That's why He takes such delight in children and those who are childlike, because He gets the most glory. It's so that no one can boast before the Lord, but our only boast is in Him. And that's where we get our wisdom. That's where we get our righteousness. That's where we get our sanctification and redemption. So far, we've established that God, He reveals knowledge to those who are childlike, and that we must receive the kingdom of God in a childlike manner, and also that God chooses to work through those who are weak in the eyes of the world. And one question I'd like to ask this morning, and would like to ask you to reflect upon, is it enough to simply come to Him in this childlike manner? Or is God requiring us to walk in that, to stay humble? And it's a pretty easy question, but I think it's one that's convicting, and it's one that causes us to reflect, am I childlike? Or am I beginning to trust in my own understanding? Right? Am I trying to solve these problems outside of God's help? And I think that this is really a very important study this morning. One that, as we've already said, really just defines the Christian religion. That God, He's concealed wisdom from the wise and learned, yet He has revealed it to little children. And we need to make sure that we are like little children in order to continue to be in His favor and to continue to be blessed. And you'd be surprised at how many people there are out there that believe that you have to have a PhD simply in order to read the Bible. And I think that that is pretty much a ridiculous statement based on what we've read this morning. That He conceals knowledge from those who are wise and learned and reveals it to little children. And yes, we should be students of the Word of God, and we should strive to be maybe scholars, right? But God has revealed simple truths to simple people. And in the words of the psalmist, you know, it is a marvelous thing that how God has created the world. Let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And this text, Jeff, did you have something? No, okay. You're just moving again. Sorry about that. Told you I'm watching. And this particular text has to do with the idea that God, He wants us to stay childlike, right? He wants us to stay humble. And I think that this is really important here, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And this is Paul talking about something that God has done to him in his walk. So verse 7, it says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited." Right, and what is conceited? Anybody know what that word means? Yeah, and I think also it would have the idea of becoming proud based on something, your own learning. And here in the context, it's talking about potentially right visions that Paul has seen. So to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep him from becoming proud in his own understanding, let's look what God is doing to him. Or what he's allowing to happen. "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" So, I think this text just lets us know that being humble and being childlike is very close to the heart of God, very close to the heart of our Father, and so much so that if His children even begin to head down that road of becoming too prideful and becoming too full of themselves, He's going to, just like any loving father, He's going to discipline them, right? He's going to give them a thorn in the flesh that will humble them and cause them to realize their weakness. And I think this is one of the most beautiful scriptures just talking about, and it's in that weakness, it's in that childlikeness, it's in that understanding that you're just a sheep of the mighty shepherd. That's when we understand God is able to work His power, right? He is, His power is made perfect in that weak state. So I believe it is crucial for us not only to receive the kingdom of God like little children, but also to walk in this humility. And God is going to help us out with this and discipline us as any loving father would do. And does anybody maybe have any examples of God or anyone has experienced this discipline of the Lord to kind of bring you to your knees and to set the record straight? Yes, Debbie, I see a hand there. She's experienced this before. So that's definitely God. I think that's a scary prayer to say. Lord, help me to be humble. Humble me, because He will. He can pull the rug right out from under your feet. He's really good at that. So, and I want to look one more verse, I think, that fits in with what we're studying this morning is 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And God had sent Samuel to anoint the next king over Israel. And let's just look at what this verse says. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" And I think it comes back to this idea. I'm just so grateful that God, He doesn't choose those who are wise and learned. He doesn't choose the strong. He doesn't choose like we do, but He delights to choose those who are humble in their heart, in their innermost being. That is what God desires. He desires truth in the inward hearts. And one other little note, some people have taken this scripture and the verses that precede it. Let me just read that verse. So back in Luke chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and everyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Himself." And some people have tried to interpret this through a Calvinistic lens and have tried to say that, see, here's proof that, God is, He's revealing information to certain people and He's concealing it to others, and this proves it. But I think that that is the wrong way to look at this. If we were to simply understand, as we were saying earlier, that those who are proud in their own understanding, right, they're the ones who are not going to look for more information, right? They're the ones that are not going to accept the Word of God, whereas those who are childlike, they're the ones that are going to be able to receive the Word of God. And I think if we turn back to the parable of the sower, I think it answers this question more directly as to whose fault it is for not receiving God. Right? There's, if you'll remember, there's four different types of soils. All these soils represent the hearts of men and women, and it is based on the hardness of their hearts that prevent them from receiving the Word. And the sower, right, he did his job, and the Word of God surely did not fail, but it is the hardness of our hearts, and as we're reading this morning, the pride that we have that keeps us from receiving the Word like children would receive it. So are there, do we have any closing thoughts or ideas as we wrap up here this morning? We're just about out of time. Yes, sir. Okay. It's a little bit hard to hear from up here. I'm not sure I understand. Anybody understand what he's what you're trying to say, or you want to say that again?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. And it will be
absolutely. And there are many different answers to this question, but one little quick response is, imagine you've got all these fish swimming one direction, and then you've got this one swimming the other direction. You think the fish, they're going to be like, you know, what's his problem? What is he doing? And I think when we start to act like Jesus, it's totally different. It's a different nature. It's like, you know, like it's already been said, you will know them by their fruits. And if we love each other, right, it's evident that Christ lives in us and we're producing fruit. It's pretty clear. It's like stars shining in a dark sky, right? Everything around them is black and darkness, but those stars, they shine forth. And Christ's likeness will do that in the world. And also, we're called to preach the word, to tell people of the good news. Jeff, one quick closing comment. That's a wonderful thought there, Jeff. Great summary. Let's just close quickly in prayer, and then we'll have a break before our service. Father, we do come before you, and we are just amazed at how wonderful your Scripture is. Father, that you have concealed knowledge from those who are prideful in their own understanding, and you've revealed it to little children. We ask that we would be like little children, and that you would continue just to reveal your word to us. Let us love you more and more, become like Jesus Christ, and be lights to the world. Just look down and be pleased with us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.